Our examination of referrals has taken us all the way from Grampian to Belfast, from Cardiff to Norwich, with a whole host of places in between. We have examined the whole decision-making process, from applying the national guidelines and determining the level of urgency to the role of local protocols and considerations of individual competence. Now we're going to discuss what happens after the referral decision has been made. Whether you decide to refer or not, there are protocols to follow. Once you have made the decision to refer, based on all the factors we have discussed in this program, the process of transferring care can begin. We've touched on this at various points throughout the program, but now we're going to come back and look at the issue in more depth with Jeff Robison.
So, as we've already discussed, in part, good records are important, both for good patient care, for continuity of care for the patient, but also for your own protection. Your records are the only evidence you have to support what you did and the decisions about why you did it. And that may make the difference between your actions and your decisions being defendable and not. There's a simple adage that if it's not written down on your record card, you didn't do it. And to a large extent, I think this does apply. There are some rules of thumb, though. Obviously, record all findings of investigations that are relevant to that patient and in particular to their presenting symptoms. You need to record relevant details from your symptoms and history interview with the patient. Obviously, the results of your clinical investigations. And if you're able to put down specific measurements or enhanced subjective assessments, use of grading scales, that sort of thing, then so much the better. Obviously, you want to record the outcome of your examination of the patient and anything that you might feel necessary to prescribe. And particularly importantly, an area where I think as optometrists, we still don't always keep good records, and that is the advice that you give to the patient about your findings and about what needs to happen next. If you're making a referral, you need to pass on relevant information to the recipient of the referral, and in basic terms, why you are referring them. So you'll need to include all relevant signs and symptoms, any other relevant clinical information, keep your referral communication to the point and specific, indicate any steps that you have already taken to manage the patient, whether you've dilated them or not, if so, what with, if you've applied any first aid measures. If you are going to make a referral via a GP, bearing in mind the very limited amount of ophthalmology training that GPs receive, it may be no more than a week or two, they're not going to have a specialist knowledge of what's wrong with the patient or be able to make specialist inferences from the information that you've provided. So, be specific. Tell them what you think is wrong with the patient. Tell them what you want them to do about it, and if appropriate, indicate the degree of urgency that should be attached to the referral. If you're not referring via the GP, as I've said on a number of occasions, you should keep them informed. One easy way to do this, if you're referring directly, is simply to send them a copy of your referral letter. There is an obligation placed on us by the GOS regulations and the Opticians Act to provide a certain amount of information to the patient if we are referring them. You're obliged to tell the patient that you are referring them and give them the reasons why you're referring them. You need to give the patient written details of the referral. I know some people put brief notes on the GOS2 or private prescription form, for example. Not personally a big fan of that. I prefer to give the patient their own copy of the referral letter that I'm making. There is an increasing view in healthcare in general that providing copies of referral information to patients constitutes a good practice. Remember that the patient does have the right to choose where they receive their care, which secondary care provider treats them. So if you are referring them via a referral pathway, just make sure that they are happy to be referred to that hospital. If they don't want to be referred to that hospital and you can't make use of the pathway, you need to consider quite carefully what alternative arrangements you may be able to make if they're practical. If you're not sure what to do, a consultation, a phone call to their GP may be helpful in this particular situation. If you decide you don't need to refer the patient, but you do need to keep a watch on them to monitor a specific condition, early cataract, for example, is the classic situation. If you decide not to refer the patient and you decide that you're going to monitor them so they have some changes that might require referral in the fullness of time, but not at this particular juncture, then you're perfectly entitled to do this. The GOC rules do allow you to do this, and monitoring the patient, but you are required by the GOC rules to inform the patient's GP, and I think it constitutes good practice in any case. Obviously, as I've said before, if you have an agreed local pathway in your area or a specific fast-track pathway, make sure that you use it, follow the specific criteria associated with that pathway. There may well be custom-designed referral forms. These have been put in place for a specific purpose, and I would advise you to make use of them if they're available. Similarly, specific data flow processes. If there is a specific phone number that you should fax referrals to, make sure that you use it. Clearly, if there is any supporting material, information sheets or booklets available for patients in association with a specific pathway, a cataract, a wet AMD are obvious examples of this, then make sure you provide it to the patient. It'll help you manage the patient's expectations, something I've talked about before, and help to minimise any anxieties the patient might have.
And on that note, we'll say thank you to Jeff Robeson, Dr. Susan Blakeney, and all of our contributors. It's been a fascinating journey, and now we've reached the end. I hope you think of it the next time you find yourself in the position to make a referral decision. And based on everything we've discussed, hope you can feel confident in making the right one.
Thank you, John. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the first episode of Advances in Eye Care. If you'd like to find out more about the topics we've discussed in this programme, you'll find detailed references and further reading, as well as information about how to earn CET points for this programme by visiting the Docket website. We always value your input, so please feel free to send us feedback on what you've heard today and any suggestions that you may have for future content. To submit your comments, please complete the survey on the website or email inquiries@docket.info. And that's all for this edition. We'll be back with the next one later in the year.